Jen Rogers for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is All About Pets. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the New York Times, Dogster, and Catster.com. On today's program, we'll start with an article from the New York Times titled, Dear Pet Sitter, Please Lock Up the Knives and Watch Out for Blimps, by Judith Newman. The feeding and care instructions we leave say as much as about us as they do about our furry companions. When I left my golden retriever, Monty, with a pet sitter, I thought my 4 pages of single-spaced instructions were perfectly reasonable. He thinks his real name is, What Do You Have in Your Mouth? I wrote. So please check frequently, or you'll end up spending the night with Monty in the ER. There's something about writing out pet care instructions that shows just how much these animals rule our lives. During his long life, Monty racked up thousands in medical bills because of his passion for eating my underwear, which means I had to be very explicit in the directions I gave his caretakers. This, it turns out, is surprisingly common. When I was a kid, my parents would drop me off at the babysitter, and their instructions were like this. Make sure she stays alive, said Fei-Fei Friedman, a graphic designer and dog sitter in Manhattan. But dog owners today, their instructions are as complicated as a Tesla's owner manual. In Reddit communities and on TikTok accounts, pet sitters often swap stories of over-the-top care instructions for animals, like dogs that need to hear Frank Sinatra to poop or kittens that attack if their food isn't microwaved. My boy will not get out of the bed in the morning unless you say, Good morning, Mr. President, reads one post. He needs his green monkey to sleep, says another. Don't be afraid if he keeps this tail down his throat for more than a minute. He knows what he's doing. Do not say Jake Gyllenhaal or she will start freaking out, reads a third. Key Cash, a pet sitter in Orlando, Florida, was once warned to keep the knives locked up or the cat she was watching might pick one up in its mouth and try to stab her. I laughed, she said. Guess what happened? Ms. Cash assured me in an email that the cat dropped the knife before there were any casualties. While these stories might seem outrageous, there are perfectly logical reasons owners explain and over-explain instructions for pet care, said Nancy R.G., the director of the Center for Human-Animal Interaction at Virginia Commonwealth University. For one thing, animals can't entirely grasp the concept of time, which can make a simple trip to the store feel like abandonment. You can explain to a young child that you're leaving and coming back, said Jane Greer, a family therapist in New Jersey. He runs an Instagram account for her coton de tuileur, Riley. But with a dog, they don't know. That may explain why guilt-ridden pet owners leave long lists of what Reddit pet sitters call enrichments to distract from the owner's absence. Whether it's a t-shirt that smells like the owner, or favorite music and TV shows that might be played on repeat. Brenda the accountant has a screen addiction. Rennie Weller, a jewelry designer in Los Angeles, said of her multi-poo. She tells sitters her dog needs plenty of TV time and to go to YouTube, search dog videos, and give her hours of squirrels. According to a 2023 Pew Research Center study, 51% of pet owners say their pets are as much a part of the family as a human member. When people are asked to name those who they trust most, pets will often be closer in the inner circle than family and friends, Dr. G said. Many pet owners also feel a strong sense of emotional debt to their animals, Dr. Greer said. Human relationships are very tough, she said. Your pet may be the one non-judgmental being in your life. They'll love you even if you're not a good person. Maybe that's the reason that we indulge our pets' eccentricities and fears, no matter how absurd. Carol Mithers used to leave excruciatingly detailed instructions about her scrappy chow mix, Casey, included this warning. If you see or hear the Goodyear blimp, grab the leash tightly and get home as fast as you can. Casey was terrified of blimps. Once I literally had to lie on top of him to keep him from running into a busy street, says Miss Mithers, who is the author of Rethinking Rescue, Dog Lady and the Story of Americans, Forgotten People and Pets. Rational or not, elaborate pet instructions are clearly a projection of our love, Dr. G said. We owe our pets and adore them, even when they're diabolical. That perhaps accounts for the one more ominous instruction left for a pet sitter who later shared it on TikTok. Jasper cannot be trusted. Good luck. Next, we'll move on to another article in the New York Times by Daniel Gelfand titled, How to Travel with a Pet. Taking along a companion animal sounds like a great idea, but making it work can be tough. We've got tips to make sure it's a vacation for both of you. Last summer, my family unexpectedly adopted Gracie, a Chiweeny. That's a cross between a Chihuahua and a Dachshund. I soon found myself scrambling to rebook a trip we'd planned at a no-pets resort. Scanning pet-friendly alternatives online, I saw plenty of dogs taking glorious hikes or frolicking on the beach. But I began to fear this first trip with a pet might be like our first one we took with our baby daughter, which is to say, not much of a vacation. The good news I learned is that with careful planning, traveling with companion animals can be fun and fulfilling. Here are five tips for making that happen. Consider your destination. Take into account your pet's personality and temperament. If your pet is sedentary, think twice about the hike in Big Sur. If you're going to do an activity which your pet has not been used to doing, you probably don't want to do it, said Dr. Michael Q. Bailey, a veterinarian and president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. Consider a slow-paced, walkable environment with access to outdoor adventures. Think about what your pet will be doing all day if you're planning on going to museums and restaurants where an animal might not be welcome. I think our best success for traveling with our pet is somewhere where they can do activities with us, said Nicole Ellis, a certified animal trainer with Rover, an app that lets you book pet care. You also want to think about your destination's climate, as some pets don't do well in heat or cold. Just like people, dogs can sunburn, and cats who love sunning themselves are also at a risk. Make sure to keep them out of the heat for extended periods. While many hotels, homestays, and campgrounds allow pets, research what pet-friendly actually means, as policies vary widely. There may be restrictions on weight, breed, and leaving your pet unattended. Call ahead to discuss your specific pet so there are no surprises. Talk to your vet. Your veterinarian can help determine whether your pet is a good candidate for travel and ensure all necessary vaccinations are up to date. Talk to your vet about your pet's age and breed, especially if you have a short-nosed dog like a pug or bulldog. Those breeds are susceptible to heat stress and may face restrictions when it comes to flying. You can also talk through strategies for dealing with issues such as anxiety and motion sickness. If your pet takes any regular medications, you'll want to make sure you have enough for the trip and an extra week. Start the paperwork early. Travel paperwork requirements depend on your destination and mode of transportation. Some states, including Arizona and Nevada, and U.S. territories have entry requirements for pets, including for car travel, such as health certificates and proof of vaccination. For some domestic and all international travel, you need to consult with a veterinarian who's accredited by the U.S. State Department of Agriculture. If your veterinarian is not USDA accredited, ask for a referral or use the USDA's website tool to find one. If traveling internationally, first check the USDA's APHIS, Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service website, to verify if your destination country allows your pet and review the required documentation. Then confirm your airline or transportation carrier's specific requirements, including breed and age restrictions, size and weight limits, health requirements, and fees. The required paperwork may include health certificates, vaccination records, any necessary medications, and all documentation to verify your pet is healthy for travel. There may be quarantine requirements at your destination or upon your return home. Make sure your pet is microchipped. The microchip is compliant with international travel requirements and its registration is up to date. It is important to start this work well in advance. The thing I encounter most often is underestimating the amount of preparation that sometimes is required, says Dr. Chase McNulty, a USDA accredited veterinarian with Heart of Chelsea Veterinary Group in Brooklyn. If any documentation is missing or incomplete, customs may deny entry, sending you and your pet back home. Stay safe in the new space. Once you arrive, pet-proof your space. Check that the windows close securely and there are no escape routes. Your pet should wear a collar with your contact information and a rabies vaccination tag at all times. At hotels, request a room away from stairwells and elevators, as dogs are sensitive to sound. Keep a do not disturb sign on your door, whether or not you're in the room, to prevent unexpected housekeeping visits. Ensure proper ventilation, even with air conditioning. Dr. Bailey suggests bringing a small fan with covered blades so your pet can sit in the cooling breeze if needed. Pets need time to adjust to their new surroundings. Spending time together when you first arrive to ease separation anxiety. Bring comforts from home, like favorite toys or a familiar blanket. play games, give training treats, or take a short walk and explore the grounds. If leaving your pet alone is permitted, keep it brief. If your pet is crate trained, consider bringing a collapsible crate for comfort and security while you're gone. Leave the TV or radio on so they don't feel alone. For longer absences, contact a local pet sitter through services such as Rover, WAG, or Pet Sitters International, and arrange a meeting once you arrive to ensure a good fit. Prep before the trip. One key to success is acclimating pets in advance. For car trips, start with short rides to see how they handle a drive and if motion sickness medication might be needed. Before booking a week-long trip, test the waters with an overnight stay at a hotel close to home. You might do it and go, oh my gosh, this is so stressful. I'm not traveling with my dog, says Miss Ellis. When you travel, maintain your pet's regular feeding and walking routines to reduce stress. Never leave pets unattended in cars or heat stroke can occur quickly. While driving, secure pets with harnesses and position them away from airbags. Always keep pets on a leash when they're not in approved carriers. For air travel, ensure proper ventilation and limit food intake before flying to reduce nausea. Next, we'll move on to an article from Dogster.com titled Innovation is Defining Longevity in Pet Health by Ginny Renko, VMD, DACVIM. Longevity is no longer a distant aspiration in pet health. It has become an innovation imperative. As advances in cellular science accelerate, the industry is moving beyond reactive solutions and toward protective, science-backed approaches that help pets live longer, healthier lives. The shift is redefining how we think about aging, prevention, and supplementation, with cellular health now at the center of the conversation. At Leap Years, we see longevity not as a trend, but as a foundational change in how pet products are developed, evaluated, and delivered. Innovation has shifted the pet longevity conversation. For decades, aging in pets was largely addressed through disease-based care. Products were typically introduced only after visible decline had already set in, including joint stiffness, reduced mobility, cognitive changes, and/or chronic conditions, reflecting a reactive model of care. Today, innovation is moving the industry toward a system-level view of health. Instead of targeting isolated clinical signs, emerging solutions focus on the biological processes that drive aging itself. This shift reframes the conversation from senior dog solutions to lifespan-wide intervention, supporting dogs earlier before decline becomes apparent. Several factors are accelerating this shift. Pet parents are more informed, seeking products grounded in real science. Advances in human longevity research are creating a halo effect, raising expectations for similar innovation in pet health. At the same time, the pet industry has matured, with greater investment in research and development, clinical validation, and functional ingredients. Aging is a biological process, not a life stage. One important reframe underway is the understanding that aging does not suddenly begin in pets' senior years. It's a biological process that starts at the cellular level long before outward signs appear. Middle age is when cellular changes quietly accumulate, setting the stage for future decline. Yet historically, this stage has received the least attention. As Dr. Heather Oxford, DVM, MPH, CVA, CCRT explains, longevity isn't defined by how long a dog lives, but how long the dog maintains functional resilience. In her clinical experience and shown, health follows a predictable arc, early growth, a peak period of resilience, and then a gradual decline that accelerates if the aging processes are left unaddressed. The goal of modern longevity science is not to extend the tail end of life, but to flatten that decline, keeping dogs in the good health zone longer and shortening the time spent in poor health. This framework reframes aging as a continuous biological process. Dr. Oxford notes that the most overlooked opportunity occurs during middle age, when cellular function is already declining beneath the surface, even though outward signs of aging haven't yet appeared. Intervening at this stage has the greatest potential to increase health span, preserving strength, mobility, cognition, and metabolic resilience over time. Rather than reacting to visible decline, this model underscores why cellular level support earlier in midlife is critical. By supporting the systems that drive cellular metabolism and resilience, innovation can help extend the years dogs spend thriving, fundamentally redefining what aging well looks like in pet health. This perspective challenges the industry to rethink how and when supplements are introduced. Biologically speaking, healthy aging products should not be reserved for older dogs, but integrated into wellness routines well before aging becomes obvious. Cellular science is the next wave of pet health innovation. At the heart of the shift is cellular science. Research increasingly shows that aging is driven by changes at the cellular level, including declines in cellular metabolism and the accumulation of dysfunctional cells. One key area of focus is NAD+. Nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide. This is what fuels the health of cells throughout an animal's body via their mitochondria, the powerhouses of the cell. As a dog or person ages, their NAD levels decline, which means their cells start to lose the ability to function as they should. And that leads to cells not dividing properly and ultimately chronic disease and breakdown of different systemic functions. Another critical factor is cellular senescence. Senescent cells are cells that have stopped functioning properly but remain in the body, contributing to inflammation and tissue dysfunction. Over time, their accumulation plays a role in many age-related declines. The future of pet health is proactive. The future of pet health innovation lies in extending health span, not simply lifespan. This means helping dogs stay active, engaged, and comfortable for as long as possible. Redefining dog years requires better science and earlier intervention. Cellular health is more than a niche concept. It's becoming the foundation of next-generation pet wellness. Pet parents are ready for this evolution, and brands that embrace it will help shape the future of longevity and pet health. This previous article was cut for time. Now we'll move on to an article also from Dogster.com called Damning Dry Dog Food Report Not What It Seems by Dr. Karen Kanowski. Over the last month, pet and vet communities have been reeling from the revelation that high levels of heavy metals have been detected in dry dog food. How could this have happened? As we reviewed the findings of the report, we discovered that the headline being repeated across the internet is extremely misleading. As pet parents, we place a certain amount of faith in the pet food industry when it comes to providing healthy, nutritionally balanced, and above all else, safe food for our dogs. While the only way we can ever be sure about the integrity and safety of the ingredients we feed our four-legged friends would be to grow, harvest, slash slaughter, and produce the food ourselves, for most people that is neither practical or possible. And so we rely on reputable and recognized brands, AAFCO labeling, and the advice of veterinary professionals like myself to help us make the right choices. So when a report like the one from Clean Label Project, CLP, declares that there have been extremely high levels of lead, mercury, arsenic, and cadmium found in dry dog food, it's going to raise some red flags. However, we've discovered that that's not as it seems. The nonprofit organization whose raison d'etre is to provide impartial information and transparency about the products we use, consume, and feed our pets, evaluated 79 of the top-selling dry, air-dried, freeze-dried, and fresh frozen dog foods. They assessed multiple panels of industrial and environmental contaminants, including heavy metals like arsenic, cadmium, mercury, and lead, as well as phthalates, which can disrupt endocrine function, and acrylamide, the carcinogenic compound byproduct of high-temperature production. Understandably, without relocating our lives to a hermetically sealed biodome, we are bound to be exposed to varying levels of these compounds in our everyday lives, in the air we breathe, the water we drink and bathe in, and the food we eat. Although the metabolic system is designed to mop up and eliminate these harmful elements, there's a limit to how much the liver and kidneys can eradicate. Once that threshold is reached, these materials can cause cellular damage, organ dysfunction, cancer, hormonal imbalances, and diseases like diabetes. In the case of dog food, it's believed that many of these contaminants come from meat byproducts, added vitamin and mineral premix, seafood, and plant-based carbohydrates. The results at a glance. In this report by CLP, there's a stark difference between the levels of heavy metals and other contaminants in dry dog food and those of fresh and frozen meals. It's worth noting, however, that while most dry kibble contains around 10% moisture, fresh and frozen dog foods are often up to 70% water. There is significant consideration when talking about the concentration of nutrients and contaminants, something veterinarian Dr. Joseph Washlog, a professor and nutritional specialist at Cornell University College of Veterinary Medicine in Ithaca, New York, was quick to point out in a recent interview with CNN's Sandy Lamott. You also can't take those numbers at face value, because a dog has to eat about 3 cups of fresh or frozen dog food to get the same calories and nutrients as 1 cup of dry food, he said. Therefore, the dog's exposure to heavy metals and fresh or frozen foods goes up because it has to eat 2 or 3 times as much. According to the FDA's 2019 report on heavy metals in animal food, the National Research Council and the Association of American Feed Control Officials recommend a tolerable amount of arsenic. mercury, and lead in complete dog food. When you think about what's recommended, the levels reported in the Clean Label Project report may at first glance seem highly disturbing. However, the devil's in the details and decimal places. When we convert the results from parts per billion to parts per million, we see that these levels are actually well below the maximum tolerable levels recommended by the FDA. It's worth noting that the MTLs set by the NRC and the AAFCO are largely based on studies that include feed used in farm animal production, and there have been relatively few studies focused entirely on safe levels of those contaminants for cats and dogs. How would chronic consumption of these contaminants at really high levels affect a dog? We don't know, says Dr. Wachschlag. Well, the solution would be for pet food companies to regularly test their products for toxins and report the results to consumers, he said. But extensive analysis takes time and money. The Clean Label Project reports makes reference to the fact that these figures are higher than those found in human food, which is true for some foods, but not others. The research has shown that the levels found in dog food, even dry dog food, are considered safe for long-term consumption. Not just safe, but at the low end of maximum tolerable levels. Within the report, there are startling comparisons made between dry dog food and human consumables. However, it's not made clear which consumables are being used as a baseline, and there exists a huge range of heavy metals in human food and drink depending on the item in question. Contaminant risk is something that we should all be aware of, but the claims made in the CLP's report are diabolical. Perhaps even more worrying is the number of websites, companies, and brands that have been reposting the content without fact-checking the data from themselves. While we do not wish to cast a negative light on the work being done by the Clean Label Project, as pushing for clean practices and transparency is a valiant goal and something we should all be striving towards. However, it is a goal that we should be reached in its own merits, not on the basis of exaggerated and erroneous statements. Should we be worried? It's never a bad thing to shine a light on pet food standards, particularly as no federal regulations limit the exposure of dog food products to industrial and environmental chemicals. With new pet food brands popping up all the time, it can be difficult to know which ingredients and recipes are safest for our pets. Although the dry foods assessed by the Clean Label Project are perfectly safe for canine consumption, that doesn't necessarily mean they are the best option out there. Fresh frozen foods are becoming increasingly popular due to their higher quality ingredients and less intensive production methods. This does not, however, inherently mean that they are safer or healthier than other forms of dog food, and we should always cast a critical eye over the ingredients panel. While there may be many reasons to consider moving away from dry kibble, higher levels of carbohydrates, byproducts, and lack of enrichment, for now, heavy metal contamination is not one of them. Based on the research and observations of Dr. Wachschlag's team, one thing is certain. If you want complete transparency about the ingredients and contaminant levels in your dog's food, be prepared to pay for it. If you want this kind of information that affects your dog food to go up $3 to $4 a bag, because that's what it's going to cost to do these tests. Why the fake news? Given that the figures reported by the CLP report are well within the safe zone for pet food, we can't help but wonder about why the incredibly misleading statement about extremely high levels of heavy metals was made. A fear tactic, miscommunication, a misinterpretation of that pesky decimal place. Perhaps they're hoping to garner support for their clean living initiative. It goes without saying, or at least it should, that we should always be aiming for as few contaminants as possible, something that the Clean Label Project hopes to foster through the creation of their CLP Clean 16 and CLP certification. This initiative aims to highlight products across various categories, including protein powder, coffee, snacks, and dog food, with lowest levels of contaminants, and achieving CLP purity status is to be a feather in any brand's cap. We reached out to Clean Label Project for clarification and received the following response. Our conclusions are derived exclusively from the data itself. The data, which interpreted with even a modest degree of technical literacy, indicates levels so markedly elevated that they would be considered detrimental to virtually any biological organism. However, there was no further explanation as how they arrived at the conclusion that the levels found were extremely high, despite being well below the levels of safety for animal and most human consumption. Whilst we agree there needs to be more research for determining specific MTLs for pet animal species, there's nothing in the current data that indicates any cause for immediate concern. Yes, we need to ensure we're making the best and safest choices for our pets, but don't forget to do your own research, look beyond the headlines, and don't believe everything you read. Next, we'll move on to catster.com, and we'll have an article about Heroes of the Pet World, Paws and Claws Veterinary Hospital by Nicole Cosgrove. When it comes to heroes in the pet world, some wear scrubs instead of capes. In Tracy, California, the team at Paws and Claws Veterinary Hospital has made it their mission to provide compassionate, high-quality care for every animal that walks through the doors. What makes this clinic special isn't just the medicine. It's the heart, the creativity, and the determination behind everything they do. A mission rooted in compassion. At its core, Paws and Claws exists to provide veterinary medicine at the highest standard, grounded in knowledge and compassion. For the staff, that mission also means creating a low-stress environment where both pets and their people feel supported. Every appointment is approached with the goal of leaving tails wagging and owners reassured. Life in a busy pet community. Being a pet care professional in Tracy is anything but routine. With 10 other practices nearby, the environment is competitive and fast-paced. Each day brings something new, from annual wellness exams to urgent care cases and surgical procedures. Despite being a single doctor practice, the team of 10 support staff keeps things running smoothly. On any given week, the hospital cares for 80 to 100 pets through doctor exams and another 65 through technician appointments. The schedule often feels like a juggling act, but thanks to a dedicated client service representative, CSR team, the magic of making it all work never stops. Facing challenges head on. What's the hardest part of your job? Being the bearer of bad news, to be the one answer to the pet parent's question, "Is my pet suffering?" is a difficult position to be in. Like many veterinary clinics, Paws and Claws also contends with rising cost of goods and the challenge of standing out in a crowded market. Finding an additional doctor, particularly one with a surgical expertise, is a top priority. Turning stress into success stories. If you ask the team what makes their work most rewarding, they'll tell you about the Fearless Workshop program. Designed for pets with high levels of fear, anxiety, or stress, these workshops are held on closed days, giving each animal the hospital to themselves. Using positive reinforcement, high-value treats, and gentle praise, staff guide pets through three workstations to gradually build trust. Over time, terrified patients begin to walk into the hospital with tails wagging and even excitement, a transformation that fills the team with pride. What accomplishment are you most proud of? Having the team become fear-free certified has made a huge impact. There's a sense of pride when we see a patient who was once terrified show excitement and joy during a visit. Looking ahead, Paws and Claws' future involves growth, not just in numbers, but in community connections. The team is eager to bring on a surgical doctor, expand their services, and deepen their involvement in local events, from new housing developments to rescue fundraisers. They encourage pet parents to do their part too, providing detailed information when scheduling appointments, keeping vaccine and medical records handy, and committing to preventative care. These small steps make a big difference in helping the clinic provide the best possible service. Lighthearted moments. What are some of the funniest pet names you've heard? Fluffernutters, Turnaround, Betty Crocker, Kisses, Sweet Pea, Mr. Bond, Cindy Lou, Lamb Chop, Maleficent. How to support. For those who want to learn more or support the hospital, Paws and Claws can be reached at tracyvets.com, via email at info@tracyvets.com, or by phone, 209-832-54444. Their final message to the community, stay proactive. Routine preventative care, vaccines, parasite protection, dental cleanings, blood work, and proper socialization can make all the difference in keeping your pets healthy and happy for years to come. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. We hope you've enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. All About Pets is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.